want to come in, especially if they sell it, you know, if they sell enough and within domestically, they don't care.
Okay, fine.
I mean, I think it's the same for South Africa.
All right, we've
I think South Africa makes some absolutely delicious wines, but they don't do enough to sell their wines around the world, and they're not really willing to take that next step to premium wines.
If they have premium wines, they stay in country, right?
Oh, not only do they stay in country, they get sold to each other.
Yeah.
I mean, all the vintners sell them to each other.
Yeah.
You get like a, it's incredible. You can't even get them as a consumer.
All right, now here we are talking about wine we haven't even talked about.
Yeah, let's talk music.
I don't know about your record library at home, Jim Cuddy from Blue Rodeo, who is representing the entire Blue Rodeo establishment. And they're, well, because we can't get everybody up, right?
No.
As Blue Rodeo, a Merry Christmas to you. I'll make the point this Christmas of saying M-E-R-R-I-E. I don't know about your record collection, but I'm surrounded currently because I'm doing my Christmas shows by all of the great Christmas music that I've found that is not traditional. I have five different albums worth of Phil Spector's Christmas album.
Yeah.
And I have all the Stax Volt, some of the Motown works, but I'm looking for individual tracks. And you've done some of my looking for me because because this is an album, like I would want an album to be done that's called From Everywhere About Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you, I mean, how long have you been? When did you decide to put together and record this album?
Well, it's been on our minds for a while. You know, years and years ago, we did, when we were first starting out, we did a version of Blue Christmas. And really, it's the worst thing we've ever recorded. And it was always a point of great embarrassment for me because I did this ridiculous falsetto on it, and it was just a lame version. And so we really were scared off, you know, the idea of doing traditional Christmas songs. But the last couple of years, we thought, you know, it'd be fun to do one, but when you look through the pantheon of Christmas records, especially ones that have been released in the last 5 years, they're all the same songs. There are 10 songs that every single person does.
Of course.
So we thought, that's not going to be us. Like, although we could do, Greg and I did think we could do a pretty good jokey duet one, you know, like we could do the Both Sides of Baby It's Cold Outside, and
sure,
it would be pretty funny, I think. But we wanted to then we started looking a little deeper, and I think what we wanted to represent was the two sides of Christmas. You know, there is the cheerful side of Christmas, and then there's the very melancholic
reflective side of, yeah, very reflective.
That's a very difficult time for a lot of people. And I mean, I think it's a very difficult time even for cheerful people, you know. And there's always the underside to someone's Christmas. So as we started looking around, and then it came down to individual tracks. I know Greg was right away wanted to do If We Make It Through December.
Sure.
That gave us, that Merle Haggard, that gave us a bit of a through line. Like, okay, well, that's look. I found the Paul Simon one, Getting Ready for Christmas Day, which is apparently, you know, by the sounds of it, is a very happy Paul Simon song. But,
yeah,
of course, it's a really unusual recording with the Reverend Gates just doing this crazy stream of consciousness sermon that comes to some pretty dire points, if you ever read the the transcript. And we just started to figure that out. Now, we each have a certain penchant for type of Christmas carol. Greg really likes the religious ones. He really likes the ones that he remembers singing in church, you know, and he was a Catholic. And
well, I've heard him take the prophet's name in vain on a couple of
days. Well, he's a very interesting Catholic, and I'm sure that there's a lot of people like Greg around. He has very fond memories of the community and formality of the church. And he remembers Christmas Eve and singing all this, and he remembers being a choir boy, and he remembers all this kind of stuff. But he's a very disaffected Catholic. I mean, he's very, very down on the Catholic Church.
Well,
so I think there's a lot of people like him.
So that makes sense that you would then start the album with Jesus Christ.
I think he just wanted to say Jesus Christ over and over and over again. I think Greg is more drawn to the formality of religion than he'll even let on, because all of his songs, pretty much all of his songs, have a kind of a, you know, they have a real religious bent. I tend more towards the swing era stuff. You know, I'm more the cocktail generation Christmas. Like, I'll be home for Christmas, or have yourself a merry little Christmas, or all that kind of stuff. You know, Ella's record. That's the kind of stuff that I really like. So, but we restricted each other. You know, I said, Greg, you can't do all dour, slow, religious songs. And he said, you can't do all cocktail songs. Okay, so we got one each, and then we had to search for others.
Well, you did an amazing version of O Come All Ye Faithful. That's a traditional tune.
That is his one traditional.
Yeah. But he rocked it out.
Yeah. You know.
I mean, it sounds...
everything a la Blue Rodeo.
It sounds like Hal Blaine on drums and and Phil Spector. He's got the only thing missing were the tambourines.
He will really like that. I'll pass it on.
And the Paul Simon you found, it wasn't on a Christmas record, was it?
You know what? When you're searching through iTunes, you're not usually very aware of, or YouTube, I guess, a lot of YouTube.
Sure.
You're not really aware where they come from. I mean, there's performances of that, but it seemed like it was just a one-off. It's not on a record, I don't think.
And you had to have a Gordon Lightfoot, right?
Well, again, one of Greg's, Greg's choice. And, I mean, I was very happy. This was not consciously done, but I was very happy in the end that there are 10 songs on the record. 5 of them are written by Canadians.
I've been playing Christmas Must Be Tonight for years now.
Have you?
And there are times when I forget that it was written by Robbie Robertson.
Yeah, I know. It has the most peculiar opening of a Christmas song. Come down to the manger, see the little stranger. That's so colloquial, right? God, that little Jesus Christ is a little stranger, isn't he?
He is. And then we get to River, which is really quite remarkable because it sounds obviously like you were meant to sing it. Have you sung it in the past at other events and things?
I've never sung it in public, but it's been a song that I sort of learned on piano absolutely years ago, like when I was in university. And a friend played it, and I was just smitten, and I always liked that record, Blue. But it's sort of remarkable that, I mean, it was beautiful to do. When you learn it, you realize, wow, Joni has such a unique style that you cannot reflect. You just have to do your own version. I couldn't do it as fast as she did it.
Well, she does it fast.
You would never think that her version's fast.
And there's not a Christmas season goes by that there aren't a number of albums with River redone. Like it's
I was not aware that there were so many. Oh. We did have a funny moment. Well, just to finish the thought was that when we were listening back to the recording, and I've known the song since it came out, so I've known it, coming on 40 years.
Sure.
I still couldn't believe what a good song it was. Just what a great, the way that it captured the feeling of being so far away and in a different place. And anyway, that was great. So we're listening. we have a little listening session of the record. And our record company's there, and there's a bunch of radio people. They're all mentioning the people that have done it that they like. And our record company, who really should only have one favorite artist that day, wouldn't you think?
Yes,
just one that day.
Sure.
Next day. Our guy says, I'm telling you, my favorite version is Robert Downey Jr.
What?
Really? from the...
did he speak?
From the lawyer show.
Yeah. Did he speak it? Did he sing it?
Believe me, I've not looked it up.
Okay.
I was partially, like, mock offended. Like, are you kidding me? Robert Downey Jr. beat me?
Maybe he should go into sales. now, the thing about... I haven't looked this up, and I haven't asked Joni, but it sounds like she wrote it in Los Angeles but was thinking about Saskatoon and frozen lakes that's... I mean, I think that's what most people come away with. Do you see any other element in there?
No, I think that's such a northern climate song, like that's a wee the north. I'm sure that there's lots of people in Minnesota that feel the same way, but the idea that you could even skate forever on a river, which she's not doing that as a metaphor.
No.
I mean, she means it.
Yeah.
She means she wants that feeling of that abandon you get when you're skating at the Forks in Winnipeg or on the canal in Ottawa. You just... can go forever.
You guys, I'm talking to Jim Cuddy from Blue Rodeo, and he's speaking about this wonderful Christmas album called A Merry Christmas to You, M-E-R-R-I-E, with graphics we'll talk about in a moment. Were you committed to finding a couple of your own songs that fit this format?
No, but I mean, you know, often when we do these things, Greg and I think about them separately and then gradually reveal to each other what we've been thinking. So he said, I want to do Glad to Be Alive.
Yeah.
And I said, well, we already have done that. Like, why were you putting the same song on another record? And he said, "He said, that guy doesn't sound Glad to Be Alive." We wanted to redo it. And I had secretly harbored the idea of writing a Christmas song for a long time. And I knew what I was going to write about. Because the song is about being away probably in the oil fields.
Yeah.
And hoping that you have not been a complete mess up and spend all your money so you can get yourself back to where you belong. And this, that longing, because living so much of our life in airports, we see so many those honorable men and women going back and forth, you know, and delighted one way and just aghast going the other way. And so I knew what I wanted to write about it. And I wanted to write a Christmas song. I wanted to, add my two cents.
You know, you're on CKUA, and CKUA Blankets, the province of Alberta. There's a lot of oil people. There's a lot of oil people sitting in airports or trucks or whatever, thinking about home. Let's play that tune for them.
Right on.
All right. Home to you this Christmas. Jim Cuddy, Blue Rodeo. The album is A Merry Christmas to You. It's out now. You can find it. And hopefully, I know you're not going to tour behind this. You are playing in Toronto, though, are you?
We're doing just one concert. You know, we kind of got to the whole thing late. So we're doing one here in Toronto that we could get. And then as we looked around for places, we just couldn't get, there was no availability. I mean, when you're looking in October.
That's because the Sky Diggers took all the great gigs.
Well, between the Sky, you're absolutely right. Between the Sky Diggers and Great Big Sea, there's no room for us.
And do the Hip still do their annual?
No, especially now because they're going to be out in the winter.
Of course. The artwork, just tell, because when people see it, they'll notice it right away.
Yeah. Okay, Arthur Keeler is Greg's great uncle. And he worked for a design firm. I can't remember the name of it, but it was a very, very popular design firm. And those design firms did everything. They did all the graphics for everything, for ads, for private, for TV, everything. So they had a stable of artists. That's where the Group of Seven, you know, used to make their money.
Wow.
And they had a stable of artists, and you could, if you were a wealthy person in this country, you could order personalized Christmas cards. And you could get an artist of Arthur Keeler's renown to do your Christmas card. Now, it does seem from the graphics that they had done too many Christmas cards, because we have a whole bunch of Arthur Keeler examples, and they're all pretty dark. You know, they have a kind of a shine of hopefulness and cheerfulness, but there's dark elements in them, and they're really beautiful. They're very artistic, and so when Greg showed them to us, we're like, wow, we got to use as many as we can. They're great.
They are beautiful. It's a great package. And the great thing about Christmas albums, if they connect with the audience, is that they'll always be there. Always, every year. Every year, it's called a legacy.
Yeah.
And this has the legs to do exactly that. Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, it's incredible to think of that. That would be a great joy.
I asked you previously about two things. One is when you recorded this, because they do Christmas movies. They shoot Christmas movies in Vancouver in June, and they have to keep laying down the snow because it melts.
But you have to
find the spirit of Christmas. Did you record this like in the fall?
We did it in the very early fall, I guess, probably just in September. But the people that work in our office, the girls, they completely decorated the studio. So there was a Christmas tree,
nice.
Christmas lights, and all kinds of stuff flashing. And it was a very, very, you know, you believe it. I mean, we're weak-minded. So we get in there. We've just come out of summer, and we walk in there, and 10 hours later, we believe it's Christmas. We walk outside and we're shocked, you know. We're Charlton Heston seeing the top of the Empire State Building.
I believe there's imbibing going on as well. Tell me about, Jim Cuddy, tell me about Christmas at your house when the kids were growing up and now, you and Rena. What are the traditions?
You know, we are, you know me a bit, and I am such a ritualistic guy. So we have created every minute of our Christmas experience is a yearly ritual. So we are the gathering point, our house. So we have all the family here, and there's a Christmas Eve tradition that's going to Rena's sister's place, and but most of our stuff is centered in Toronto, so that's why we're Christmas Central. But it's the whole deal. It's the drinking. It's the huge meal. It's the fighting in the kitchen. It's the storming out. It's everything. It's everything you can hope for from Christmas.
Just like all.
And then
of
we
us.
All go up. We have a little farm that's north of the city, and we go up there. And we play on the ice and in the snow, and again there's the drinking and the tears and the laughing and the oh God, turn that Jackson Brown down, and it's the same stuff every year.
Oh man, you have a Christmas album. Is there one album that you play?
Well, we have this one that's a bunch of swing tunes called "You Will Be Swinging."
Oh yeah, I got that.
And I'm telling you, I have about 3 days of tolerance for the traditional on the first Noel kind of Christmas songs. And my wife loves them. So she gets sort of from the 21st to the 24th, and then they drive me up the wall. And then I've got to go to the more comedic ones. And my Christmas starts when we play Robert Earl Keane's Merry Christmas from the Family.
Okay.
That's my departure point. And my kids love it. My son is singing it at the Christmas concert, and that one, that says Christmas to me.
Now, are there Christmas wines? He said, switching quickly to Tasting Room Radio mode. Tell me, obviously you celebrate Christmas and the holidays with your family and your friends. You go into the cellar. What are you looking for?
So I have an interesting environment around me, wine environment. So I have lots of sister-in-laws and people in my life, and they now, they now look to me to choose the wine. And they also recognize when I have tried to put something on the table that they don't think is premium.
Okay.
And they also look, now we have long tables, right? Because we've got 25 people here. They look at the different segments of the table to see the quality of the wine at each segment, and they see where I'm sitting to make sure that my wine is not better than the wine at the other end of the table. So I have to do some trickery, some skullduggery, and it helps to have French or Italian labeling.
Okay.
That can fool a lot of people. I mean, I don't want to have 25 people guzzling $100 wines when they have no idea.
Because once you set the bottle in motion, it may not come back.
Of course it's not coming back. It's not coming back. And everybody goes, wow, oh boy, that's great. It's their 10th glass of wine. What's the difference? So, but I try to find, some good Rhone wines, Southern Rhone wines. I think those are the best ones,
Sure.
Something that has a little Grenache in it that's goes with all the bird and, it's a little sweet and everybody likes it. And I have lots and lots of those.
And in terms of meals, do you go all gamey and stuff?
Yeah, we do the whole turkey thing. We do the whole thing.
I was thinking of duck and elk and bear.
No, we
and
don't.
Moose
we don't.
Deer.
We're not. I see. We're not gamey people like that. We're so ridiculously locked in tradition. If anything changes.
Have you ever seen a pre-sliced turkey?
Of course. The first I'm on the road 8 months of the year. No, I see lots of pre-sliced turkeys.
When I was in Toronto with at a friend's for, I guess it was, either Thanksgiving or Christmas, and she brought the bird out of the oven, and the skin all peeled off like a cover, like a duvet.
Ooh.
Pull it back, and the bird was already pre-sliced by the store. And I thought,
Wow.
No.
I know that, and I know also that a good friend of ours is they're having a pre-made. They're they have to leave the next morning for a holiday, and they're having a pre-made turkey dinner, the whole thing. They just go to the store, pick it up, bring it, take the tops off, and there it is.
Well.
That would be awesome.
How was your, now, and a couple of questions, I'll let you go. How was 2014 in a reflective state? Because you're going to be reflecting.
Yeah.
How was your 2014, you personally and the boys in the band?
Well, I think we had an amazing year. I think we had a great tour. We had, I think that everybody is playing at the top of their game.
Right.
We made this record, and we really, really enjoyed ourselves, and we really made it quickly. We made it with just really some pretty strict time boundaries on ourselves, and so we had to play live, and that was really exciting. You know, I mean, these guys are such good musicians. So even when I listen to the record now and I think of all the nuances they put in, and they only had two or three shots at it, you know, that's it. We're done. Moving on. I had one of the busiest solo years I've had in a long time.
Right.
Did some touring around Ontario and went here and there. We had a really great trip to California where we played the Hardly Strictly Bluegrass Festival, which is, I think it's one of those festivals that people of my style of music, it's got to be the top of the heap. It's got to be the best festival you could play. So it's all, and then I'm on the holiday train from Calgary to Vancouver starting Friday the 12th. So I'm not sure when this is playing, but I will either be on or have been on the train from the 12th to 19th. So it's a very full and great year, and I'll have my whole family home for Christmas. So
this is the
best.
This is going to run on the 20th. Where will you be on the 20th?
I'll be home.
Okay, fine.
I'll be home. I will have just been on the holiday train.
And who's on the holiday train?
Annie, myself, Elliot, and Stuart from The Odds, and I think Tracy Brown's on for a while. Tracy Brown and Randall Prescott. But that's mostly it's us going through the mountains.
Wow. Did you ever see Festival Express?
Of course.
Did you ever see Yours Truly?
Yes, of course. Yes, you mentioned that to me before I even saw it. Yes, of course.
No,
I think it's amazing.
No, it's just my mutton chops go by.
I thought, wasn't that in Winnipeg?
No, that was Calgary.
Calgary, yes, because you introduced.
Stadium. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yes.
And I was just going through the library at the CKUA, and I saw a track that I didn't recognize from the band, and I decided to listen to it, and I'm introducing them. I had no idea that I existed on this album. This is their big box set. I couldn't believe it.
That's great.
One more thing, just about the song, the Paul Simon song.
Yes.
I really love that, the way you guys have done it. It reminds me kind of like if the Beatles had covered that song.
Yeah, well,
maybe
really nice.
I don't
know. That's a real Glenn tour de force.
Yeah, maybe it's the piano. I don't know what it is, but it's really good.
Because you have a chord song, you better have a good drummer because he has to differentiate, 4 minutes of music. So that was just Glenn being brilliant.
That's really good.
It's a great song, too.
And finally, 2015. Do you know? I mean, are the bones in place for all the fabric to be placed on top? Do you know what the year will look like?
Yeah, you know what? I think that we will have we'll make a new record, but we're going to start slowly in the winter. I really think that the whole band needs a little time to regenerate some ideas and some energy. And it was a long working year for everybody. So we'll just go slowly at it. We'll just do it for fun for January, February, March, and then we have a summer planned, of course. And then we should have a record out by next fall.
All right. And what I like most about it, and I said this before, and that is that you've set something in motion here. You have no idea, long after you and I have departed this mortal coil, this album will be played.
You have no idea
how these songs will play out many, many years from now, if we still have music.
And I believe we will.
We will.
Anyway, thank you. That's a very kind thing to say, and it's a very overwhelming thing to think about.
Okay, don't go away. He is Jim Cuddy. He's representing Blue Rodeo and their great new album called A Merry Christmas to You. Look for it now. It's on shelves. You'll hear it coming out of stores and cars and things, and right here on Mulligan Stew, CKUA, and right here on Tasting Room Radio. Whew. Well.
Nice job.
Well, thank you.
And I think there's two trains. There's a East Coast train, a West Coast train, and there's three trains. There's one in the States. And they are whistle-stop trains. They stop, they throw down a platform from, right. from one of the cars, do a performance. Thousands of people at these stops, and they all bring food for the food bank or clothes. And it's fantastic.
Is there a website for them?
Well, it must be. CP Holiday Train.
Okay, CP Holiday Train. And when do you get to Vancouver?
I get to Vancouver on the 18th.
And how about Calgary?
I'm there tomorrow night, 12th.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'll make some plans. I completely missed it. I don't know how they advertise it.
I don't think that a lot of people know. It wouldn't go right into Vancouver, right? It'll go to Port Moody and Quinlan.
No, I think it'll go straight down.
I don't think it goes downtown.
To Main Street? No?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think that that's what they like. It doesn't go to Toronto. It doesn't go to Union Station. Like, how are they going to do it?
Yeah, that's true.
But it goes Guildwood, and then it'll go down to, wherever it goes south. But Oakville or something like that.
Okay, I'm going to look up the tour dates. That's very cool. Thanks for doing that. And I'll come see you on the 18th in Vancouver if I can find you.
Great. That'd be great. Right. Maybe we can have a little glass of wine after that. We'll be done.
Somebody's...
We'll have a little stash on board. You got to see the train. It's beautiful.
And you stay on the train?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's stateroom.
That's the best.
Oh, yeah. It's really nice. Well worth checking out.
Maybe we can get the spirit of Rick Nanko to sing No More Cane on the Brazos.
That'd be awesome.
Okay. Thank you, Jim.
Okay. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks for
nice
doing
to
this,
talk
buddy.
To you.
Thank you, buddy.
Bye.
Merry Christmas.